Good morning, everyone. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, may I declare this meeting officially opened. For those who don't know me, my name is Debo Shane. I'm the chair of the Appropriations Committee, Select Committee on Appropriations. We are convening today here to receive a report from the National Department of Health on the Forensic Pathology Service conditional grant, which has been phased out into the provincial equitable share. So, meaning this current year, it is one of the grants that will not receive reports. However, we felt that we need to invite the department and the National Treasury to give us a status report in terms of performance of the provinces with regard to the third and the last quarter of the financial year 2011-12, as well as to reflect on the achievement of the grant insofar as it relates to its purpose, as was contained in the previous Division of Revenue Act of the previous year. So, it is on those basis that we felt that we need to get a report this time around, not from provinces, but from the National Department itself, as well as from the National Treasury. So briefly, that is the purpose of this meeting, Honourable Members, without any waste of time, I will move straight to introductions. I've already introduced myself. And with me, I've got just in front here, Honorable Charles Dipier, who is the chairperson of the Finance Committee. And then the back row on the first is Honorable Makubela, the member of this committee from Limpopo. Honorable Alf Lees, the member of this committee from the beautiful KZN. And Honorable Dagger from the beautiful Western Cape. So, I will allow you to start here, ma'am, and introduce yourself and your team.
Good morning. My name is Patiso Nechizibane. I'm the Chief Director responsible for Forensic Pathology Services and Emergency Medical Services, including Disaster Management in the National Department of Health.
Good morning, I'm Alida Gruvia, Director of Forensic Pathology Services in the National Department of Health.
Good morning, Siyabonga Chikwana, Director of Health Financing and Economics, National Department of Health.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Ian van der Merwe. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for National Department of Health. And I'd just like to also convey apologies for the DG, the Minister and the DG. They're conducting roadshows on the National Health Insurance Act at these elected districts.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Magua from Minister of Health.
Lindy Lebatuad, Parliamentary Officer at National Treasury.
Good morning, Chair. Mark Fletcher, National Treasury.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. Julinda Gantana, National Treasury, Provincial Budget Analysis.
Good morning, Okhala Letsegareko, National Treasury.
Good morning, Chair, Lolanda Kento, Parliament.
Good morning, Yolanda Joseph, Research for the Committee.
Morning, Esther Grunewald, Select Committee on Appropriations, Secretary.
I'm sorry, Mbabalo Natada, Committee Secretary.
Thank you very much. I will deal now with apologies. You are all welcome, and I will deal now with apologies. I've got only two apologies, Honorable Members, from Honorable B.L. Mashile, who is on study leave until the 16th of May, and Prince M.M. Zulu. due to prior constituency work, though. Those are the only two apologies I have received. Any reflection on the apologies? Accepted. Thank you. Well, the first item on the agenda will be presentation by National Treasurer. Now, I will allow the National Treasury to take us through the presentation, and thereafter we'll take questions for clarity. And may I indicate that as we open for questions for clarity, because not so often, of course, you find that there are some areas that the department might not agree with the National Treasury and vice versa. So once that opportunity is given, you have got the right as a department to also get clarity or to correct whatever you feel is not properly recorded with National Treasury and vice versa. The floor is yours, madam.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, we'll go through the presentation. I'm just going to make a few introductory remarks as well as just explain what we have done with the presentation. But first of all, the grant was introduced to facilitate the transfer of services from SAPS to the Provincial Departments of Health. When it started, it was envisaged to last for a period of 5 years to support the function shift. And then, as mentioned, the grant then ended as at the 31st of March 2012. We have received, we'll go through the numbers. We have received a number of requests for rollovers where there is underspending from provincial departments through their provincial treasuries. What we have also in terms of the performance information is the report, the last report we received from the National Department of Health. That was for the third quarter. The fifth quarter performance assessment and report is due only on the 15th. So with that, Chair, with your permission, Khali, just take us through the numbers. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. The spending of the Forensic Pathology Services grant as at 31 March was 96.2% of the adjusted budget of 610 million. And worth noting that only two provinces, KwaZulu, Natal and Northwest, spent 100% of their budgets, while Eastern Cape and Western Cape overspent their budgets by 6.2% and 7.1% respectively. And the rest of the provinces underspend their budgets, with Gauteng underspending by 23.9 million. And in this regard, Gauteng is the only province that has not requested rollover funds to the current financial year. Even though Gauteng has spent the lowest, it must be noted that the spending has significantly increased because in the 2010-11 financial year, Gauteng spent only 54.9% of their budget. So I think I would notice that only Limpopo in this regard spent less than what they spent in the previous financial year, which was 2010-11. However, other provinces, particularly those that underspent, there's been a significant improvement, except only for Limpopo. And on overall, the year-on-year growth is 16.9%. I think Julina has already indicated, we are still awaiting the fourth quarter report on conditional grants from the National Department of Health, which we'll get on the 15th of May, as required by the DORA of 2011. So this performance information that we have here is for the third quarter ending 31 December 2011. So in that report, it was indicated the challenges generally were in terms of infrastructure. The issues were relating to acquiring of land to build new structures, and other challenges relating to contract management, poor contract performance by people appointed to do their job, and other procurement processes. With regard to HR, the challenge was to fill all the posts and also to procure equipment. So the challenge to still pose due to shortage of professionals and technical staff in forensic pathology services in the country. As the grant is being phased into the equitable share, we'll look at whether the department, because the service is continuing, only the grant is ending, so it's funded through the equitable share. So we've looked at two programs, Program 2 and Program 7, where mostly provinces are budgeting for this forensic pathology services. Under Program 2 is under Corona Services sub-program, and in Program 7 is under Forensic Services. So what note is that Eastern Cape did receive a rollover in the 2011-12, so it's got an impact on the growth rate of the MTF, but however, there is no uniformity in terms of where these departments budget for this service, because in the case of Northwest, for example, they have split the budget for the current year for the 2012-13 should be 41 million, but however, due to the fact that they split this funds of the Forensic Pathology Services to administration for SNT and also in under an orthopedic sub-program in Program 7 to procure equipment. So there is no consistency. But however, for the current financial year, the funds that were facing to the equitable share, it was 620 million. So we can know that already provinces are budgeting 676 million in the current financial year. And the growth rate is healthy at 15.3% and 10.7% over the MTF. In conclusion, on aggregate, provinces are spending almost 17% faster than in the previous financial year, which was 2010-11. And the spending on this grant is very strong and has improved significantly since 2010-11. So I think although housing has recorded the highest under expenditure, they have improved spending by 45.7%, as I earlier indicated. And the progress and success of the objectives of this grant mainly depends on provinces carrying on with the mandate of building mutuaries beyond the lifespan of the grant. Thank you.
Thank you, members. You may ask questions. Honorable Makubela. Honorable Liz.
Thanks, Chairperson. Can we find an indication from the Treasury whether the unspent money for Lipopo will be incorporated to this equitable share on the 2012-2013? Number two, I'm seeing here on the performance issues. The challenges indicated there, I'm sure it's not a temporary one, but a permanent one. All right. If you talk about the acquiring of land, this thing can persist definitely for a long time. You talk also to the contract related. This contract management. If you don't have people who know how to control this thing, you're going to have a serious problem also. And also the filling of the post, shortages of professional and technical staff. What plan do you have in order to overcome this type of challenges? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Liz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you to National Treasury. I'm sorry that I may appear to not really be understanding. So forgive me if I ask a stupid question, but I seem to hear you saying something about Eastern Cape rolling over, but then they overspent, so what did they roll over? I wasn't sure about that. Obviously, I've misheard it or something, but just some clarity there. I'm fascinated by these figures on Table 1. You've got under Eastern Cape an overspend of 5,431. And the figure, actual figure of 5,400,000, I presume, is it rand thousands? Doesn't actually, rand thousand, there it says it, okay. And, you know, there's a figure of actual 92449, and one understands that, that I don't understand how my own province can spend exactly the same amount as the budget. I find that fascinating. It's just practically impossible to do. And the same applies, I think, for the other one was Northwest. It's simply impossible to do that unless you manipulate it. I would think that there are two ways of dealing with a conditional grant such as this, is that a province spends on that particular function until the budget's finished, and therefore it equals the budget, but any over expenditure then is reflected in some other set of accounts. I think it's an accounting treatment, but it does make for an interesting comparison, which makes it difficult to completely understand. Chairman, in terms of the table four, the hospital revitalization grant. Now, here again, we've got an interesting one in my own province of 65 million overspent on this grant. And yet, Madadeni Hospital in Newcastle has been down for revitalization for the last 6 years and nothing's happened. So where can we get details of these actual expenditures, and where is this money actually being spent? That we actually 65 million, which is a considerable amount of money. I think that the current kind of budget estimate, if you were to open a private hospital, you know, if you're looking at a hospital of around about 150 beds or more, the cost to build that hospital, including equipping it, is around about 1.5 million per bed. I think that's the kind of rule of thumb that people work on when they look at establishing private hospitals. So 65 million is quite a lot of money if you're looking at revitalization. So I'm curious about that one, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Any other question? Honorable Dibia.
Chairperson, thank you. Thank you for the presentation by Treasury. What procedure do Treasury follow when they pick up the underspending or overspending? We now sit here with the figures of the 31st of March 2012. That's my first question. Looking at my province, Northern Cape, underspent Table 1 by 1.3 million. Table 3 spent 117%. How on earth is that possible? Table 4. And this is where I'm getting very annoyed, looking at the issues in my constituency in the letters I wrote to the MEC, to Kacha in the Northern Cape province, underspent by 8.8 million. But this document I'm taking back to my province to ask questions in the provincial legislature at the soonest possible time I can get there, because this is serious. This is very serious. Your method of monitoring, is it just sending an email? Health department, province, fill in email back, or is there something else? Because then we must look at our role as the select committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, members. I just want to, I will allow Treasury to answer all the questions that's raised. But I think table 3 and 4 would be tables that have been put here for your information, because we're still going to engage provinces on those two. Today our concentration would have been only on forensic pathology services, but because I did not explain that at the beginning, I will allow the answers. But then my question, ma'am, is that whilst you briefly touched on the challenges on this particular grant, you are not telling us anything about the successes and with regard to the purpose. You are saying that depends on the provinces, and that reference relates to the future. And one would have expected that at least by now, as a provincial, as a national treasury, you have made your analysis in terms of whether for the years that this grant has been in place, and based on the information that was there on inception, this is how we have moved. Then going forward, of course, we will expect to see the provinces sustaining and budgeting within their own equitable share, as we'll no longer be having these grants too. But I'm sure it's only fair that you tell us if as a national treasury you are satisfied of the achievements, if any. And if you feel that it has not been able to achieve the intended purpose, now one would want to know what informed your phasing it out into the equitable share. I know the National Department will still talk more on that, but I'm interested to get the views of the National Treasurer. I don't think it's sufficient just to say the success of it depends on, because even that statement talks to the future, not the past. I would like to hear your views on that, madam. The floor is yours.
Can I start with Honorable Makubela's question and then work it through? Okay. The question on the Limpopo underspending, the total amount there was 5.4 million. What we have is a request. They've applied for a rollover of 3.3 million, and that was for commitments that they've incurred. The balance of 2.1 million that we have been in discussion with the provincial treasury up to this point were not committed to identifiable projects. So the likelihood exists that the province will get approval for the rollover request of 3.3. So then the under expenditure will be 2.1, because that would not be identified to specific projects. The second question, as it relates to specific issues around the health, I think the Department of Health will be able to deal with that one. The Honorable De Beers question on the method of monitoring, there are several things that that we do, which ranges from monitoring the expenditure on in terms of the system and verifying it, but also physical checks going out to the various sites in terms of the infrastructure planned and roll out of the grant. Also, there's the National Department do evaluate the spending on the grant, and there's specific processes that they go through, and then provide us also with detail in terms of their assessment. Then there's obviously the stipulations in the division of revenue, but our starting point and our interaction mainly is with the Department of Health, because that is where the funds is being allocated, and the bulk of the monitoring would be from that angle. But on from our side, we do have infrastructure visits. We do visit the provincial provinces and interact with the departments in terms of where we see there's problems. We have also, and I know the Department of Health is busy restructuring and actually looking at a unit that deals specifically with provincial spending numbers to also then provide better oversight in terms of the monitoring of spending at a provincial level. The issue around KZN and Northwest 100% spent, I think because on the system it would reflect the 100% spend, it could be an issue of innovate or accounting on the accounting side where it shows. Other provinces like the Eastern Cape would show if they have augmented the grant with additional funds, they will show that they've actually spent more on the grant than what the allocation was specifically. So because KwaZulu-Natal and Northwest, they received an allocation, they spend that allocation. If they have spent in addition to that allocation, they will not show it against because it would be funded from the equitable share and won't be reflected against the grant spending per se. The successor, sorry. The information that we have at our disposal is actually when the grant was introduced, it was agreed that it would be to facilitate the function shift from SATs to the provincial departments. And the function, when it was performed by SATs, the capacity to perform the function was not fully developed, and therefore a key focus of the transfer of the function to provinces was to develop the required human resource capacity in line with the human resources plans. So by August 2006, all SAP staff had been transferred to provincial departments of health. And since then, the provinces have continued to follow the organogram with skilled personnel to fully align with the plan. At the end of the 2008 and 2009, the staffing levels were on track and 90% of the positions were filled in four provinces. There were obviously challenges in terms of recruiting specific, which one could say is a scarce skill. I know the Northern Cape at one particular point only had one expert in forensic pathology. So that was a challenge, but in four provinces there was progress made. But I also think in terms of the request came through in 2009 from the accounting officer of the National Department of Health that this grant be phased into the equitable share. And then Cabinet and Parliament approved then in the 2011 budget that the full funding from the grant then be shifted back in the provincial equitable share from the end of 2011-12. And that is why we are now at a point where it will be funded through the equitable share. But I think perhaps the National Department of Health would be able to add a few things to this.
But do we have any of these services still under SARS? Oh, they have all shifted now. Okay. Health?
Can I just find out, do you want us to respond to the question or present? Because the presentation from health will address some of these questions.
No, you present.
Okay.
Chairman, National Treasury, you're confusing me even more now with these overspends. Because on the one hand, you're saying that certain provinces spend the grant and then top up with equitable share and they show it in a separate account. But Eastern Cape and Western Cape didn't do that, which means that they got that money from you, not from the equitable share. And that's not possible. I can't see National Treasury actually paying out more than the grant. And so it's the treatment, the event is the same. It's the treatment of the event, I think, that's different. And surely they're both taking from equitable share. That's how they deal with it is different. I'm clearly I'm being silly on this one. I don't really understand. Thank you.
Thank you. If I can respond the way we've been treating it in the past in provinces, is that you're right. You get your equitable share, allocate your conditional ground transfer to yourself exactly as per the schedule. You can't get transferred more than what was gazetted in the DORA, number one. In the case of Eastern Cape and Western Cape now, when they do their annual financial statements, they're going to have to show 100% spent against the grant. So they're going to have to reflect, in the case of Western Cape, 70 million against the budget of 70 million. So they'll show 100% allocation and 100% spent. The balance of the balance of 4.9 has to go against equitable share. It can't go anywhere else. It has to go against equitable share. And if you're going to look at the financials by the end of May, that's the way it's going to have to be reflected. What Treasury shows now is just the actual spend against that grant, you know, for the purpose of the grant. And I'm not sure about this, but we can confirm it, is that KZN and Northwest has already done that exercise. That they've netted off the full expenditure against the grant, and the balance will be reflected against the equitable share.
Happy? Chairman, it's not conclusive. We're now assuming that. So all I'm saying is that in those 100%, where it shows 100%, I don't believe that figure. Sorry, I don't believe it. I believe that they've either spent less or more, but in this case probably more, and they've already allocated it elsewhere. And so what we're showing here in a report to this committee is two different ways of treating the same figure. So that's my concern, is that you can't come here and tell us that certain provinces have 100% spend and others have 100-something% spend. Because I don't believe the 100% spend. That's my problem, is the figures aren't we're treating provinces differently in terms of the figures. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I cannot believe that there are two provinces that on this particular function, not the grant, on this function, have spent exactly the amount that they were granted. Exactly.
Yeah, but, well, I take your point on this. I think we'll also have the opportunity, because this whole month will be interacting with provinces to explain that. But if you remember in the past, because there's always been contestation as to whether there will be an instance where you spend exactly that same amount. But the explanation that we usually get from provinces is the same as presented. That those, you are correct, they are not treating it the same way. Others will just decide that even if we are taking this over part from our equitable share, but in their reporting they will show that they have overspent, and then it will be captured as such. Others will just say, no, we have overspent. There's no need to report the overspending because it comes from our equitable share, and then you just report 100%. That's the explanation that they usually use. So the treatment is not the same. Perhaps it's something that Treasury will have to, or and the department, raise with provinces as to, for the purpose of consistency, whether, because others, they would always raise when they have overspent as one way of justifying an increase in that particular grant. I remember with regard to the devolution of property rates, you would find KZN and Limpopo showing huge figures, 136%. And then when you follow up, why do you, because that 36 comes from equitable, you know, we are raising it to show the need for this to go up. So, but it's something that perhaps for the purpose of not confusing us going forward, will have to be looked into as to whether in such reporting. The understanding, we understand it will have to show because it involves retaining the money and all those things. But overspending, there's nothing that you even get more than that. Not unless there's an increase on the grant itself the following financial year. But thank you. Thank you very much, Sam. You were on the stage presenting. Madam. Oh, the CFO.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, if you allow, it will be a dual presentation by myself and a colleague. The context of the presentation is outlined in the background, the purpose, the objectives, some of the achievements that were requested, the service delivery, human resources, some fleet management, achievements in IT, the monitoring issue that you were requesting. I think we dealt with the budget and expenditure to some extent right now, and then the conclusions that we've made. Chair, as explained, that there was a cabinet decision taken in 98 to approve the transfer for the medico-legal mortuaries from the police service to the Department of Health. I think at the time the transfer was extremely important because it enabled and improved management of the function and the handling of evidence. I think this was the major drive behind the move from SAPS to health. The Section 27(2) of the Health Act stipulates that provincial departments of health should and will be responsible for the implementation of the entire forensic pathology services, which excludes forensic laboratories in compliance with national policies and laws. As you know, the forensic laboratories is still a competence of the National Department of Health. The forensic pathology services were then transferred to the health departments in 2006, and was part of a conditional grant, as Treasury has explained, for the last 5 years. And this has now been out. It will now be handled as an equitable share function in the future. The purpose of the grant was to develop a comprehensive forensic pathology services in all the 9 provinces to ensure the production of impartial professional evidence for the criminal justice system concerning deaths due to unnatural causes. The deliverables that were agreed to in the grant as well was the transfer of the function from SAPS to Departments of Health, that there would be new mortuary facilities built and equipped, and that old facilities would be refurbished and also equipped if there's a need for that. The other big one was the human resource element to make sure that it gets filled with qualified personnel, as well as the some acceptable productivity levels within mortuaries to improve the throughput at mortuaries, the operational standards for mortuaries published and implemented. This was also done, and then there was the issue of a forensic pathology service information system in all provinces that has been implemented to some extent. The objectives, Chair, was outlined in the grant framework published in the DORA as well, and the four main areas was human resources, the building and refurbishment of the facilities, the equipment and equipping the mortuaries, and then, as we said, the information system related to the forensic pathology services. Chair, I will allow Pakiso to take us through the conditional grant achievements as requested. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The achievements are based on the unit in terms of how we have seen the program evolving since the inception of the grant. What we have seen is that personnel formerly employed by SHS are now part of the staff establishment of the Department of Health. New personnel with grade 12 have been recruited for possible training to become forensic pathology officers. In this area of forensic pathology officers, the only challenge we have is that it's not only grade 12 that we have appointed, we also have FPOs who have degrees. We are discussing with the Health Professions Council to look at the issue of career pathing for them. We've spent a significant number of provinces have improved. The spending have improved over time, and equipment and new fleets are purchased in all provinces. Forensic pathology information system is operational in 2 provinces, which is the Western Cape and Gauteng. Old mortuaries were refurbished and new ones were built. We also looked at, in terms of the inception of the grant, what have we achieved in terms of service delivery. We've seen as of the November 2011 that we've made some improvement in terms of an autopsy report, in terms of the number of bodies that are waiting for autopsies, the average waiting time prior to autopsies, which is the longest waiting time, and the results. For the Eastern Cape, we've seen that the turnaround time is 3 days, for Free State is 2 days, prior to autopsy, Gauteng is 2 days, KwaZulu-Natal is 1 hour and 7 days, Limpopo 3 days, Mpumalanga 3 days, Northwest 2 days, Northern Cape 3 days, Western Cape 3 days. We have planned that we will look at these indicators per month so that we can have quarter reports, because for us this is the key service delivery indicators. In terms of human resources, the only challenge we have is the issue around pathologists. For example, Mpumalanga does not have pathologists, but it has a medical doctor who's doing a work around the forensic. They have been trained to do that, and the guidelines also allow them to do autopsies because they've been trained. So in terms of Eastern Cape, the numbers have also improved. This is the first quarter report. We anticipate that we might have an increase also for the fourth quarter report. Now, in terms of the overall number is 60, but if it divided in terms of doctors, we can see that for Eastern Cape, we've got 7 doctors, we've got 1 pathologist, we've got 30 forensic pathology officers. That new support have also improved, and the facility managers have also been appointed. The Free State, we have not been able to get the number of pathologists, because most of them are still in training. We have 21 who are doing autopsies. The FPOs have also increased, and the admin support has also improved. Gauteng is a province that has a number of pathologists. During the inception of the grant, Gauteng produced 4 new pathologists. 4 of them are black, and there's 1 first African woman who's a pathologist produced between 2006 and 2011 in Gauteng. KwaZulu-Natal has also a number of doctors, 94. There's a number of APOs in KwaZulu-Natal has also improved dramatically, and the admin support, because we have the largest number of facilities there. Limpopo also, we have an improvement, and they're also supported by the University of North Limpopo, Midunsa. Mpumalanga, we have 9 doctors. The number of FPOs have also improved in Mpumalanga. Northern Cape, we still have a few of the doctors, 5, and the FPOs have also improved. Northwest has also improved because they also have 1 pathologist. Western Cape has got a number of pathologists, including FPOs. So in terms of human resources, we have made improvements, but I think we still need to be training a number of forensic pathologists so that they cover the places of need. For example, Gauteng and West Cape, they are well catered for, but if you look at other provinces, they are not. In terms of equipment and fleet, we just put all the numbers together. For example, in the Eastern Cape, they have fleet that is 4x4 vans, bikes and private cars, all together is 44. The Free State have got vans and private cars, all together is 42. Gauteng, also vans and private cars, all together is 91. KwaZulu-Natal, vans and private cars, 150. Limpopo is vans only, they have 39. Mpumalanga, they've got private cars and vans, 63. Northern Cape, 29. Northwest, 51. And Western Cape, 68. The state has with the building and refurbishment of mortuaries. When the grant started, the major area was to build new mortuaries and to refurbish the old. What we are seeing that in terms of the refurbishment, we've done well in terms of refurbishment, because we had planned 65, but we've completed 56. In terms of the new structures, the plan was to build 66. We've only achieved 34. That's where the real challenge is, and the challenge is really reflected in terms of provinces. Achievements in information technology. This is the area that we have not done well in terms of information technology. First is that Western Cape, the grant was spent on Western Cape so that the module in the Western Cape will be rolled out to the other provinces. So Western Cape is the only province that has got the system in the 18 facilities. Gauteng has got the system in only 4 facilities. There was a moratorium on information systems in 2010, 2011. So that has also hampered on the implementation of the system. The challenges and failures experienced for us as health is the issue around not being able to formalize the accredited training program for the FPO so that they can also qualify for the occupation specific dispensation. And also not being able to recruit a forensic pathologist due to the production in the universities. We have also seen that in terms of our forensic mortuaries, there is a number of increasing unidentified bodies, which also sometimes hampers the spacing in some of our mortuaries. And also there's an issue with the lengthy procedures in the criminal justice in terms of the unidentified bodies, to be given proper funeral and to go through DNA. Sometimes there are problems where you find that it takes longer for the SAPS to do DNA and also for the Home Affairs to deal with the issue of fingerprinting. In the Northern Cape, is the province that did not do well altogether in terms of infrastructure. Almost all the projects that were planned, they are halfway because there have been a number of court cases in terms of the awarding of the tender. Northern Cape, and we found out that the department had won the case, but we understand now that the providers have taken the case to the Supreme Court. So it's also going to delay this process for a long time. Also, in terms of challenges, although we have built this mortuary, when we visit the mortuary, we see that some mortuaries have been a poor workmanship. So, for example, there are others in Free State where you find that there are cracks and the department is looking into those issues through the infrastructure program because the workmanship has been poor in some of the mortuaries that have been built. The underfunding has been reflected by provinces that they didn't have capacity to some of the provinces to perform. And the issue of acquiring land, we've seen that in Gauteng. Gauteng has not been able to build the new mortuaries because they did not acquire land. It has already been reflected. And as the delays take place with the building, the costs also have been escalating in terms of the processes. I've already talked about the moratorium on the health information system that hampered the implementation of rolling out the information system. I've already talked about this, the housing and difficulty in obtaining land, and none of the 6 new facilities were built. But currently, progress has been made to acquire land for Bronkhorstspruit and the Springs mortuaries. Northern Cape had challenges with the court case holding all projects, and the matter is still not resolved. Mpumalanga did not complete all the new facilities due to lack of funds. Western Cape did not complete all their funding, their building and refurbishment projects due to lack of sufficient funds. For example, the Salt River was in the plan, but it needs $134 million for a new structure. Eastern Cape also, although they've made progress really in terms of building new structures and refurbishment, but there are those holding facilities that were part of the original plan that were not built due to lack of funding. Other constraints included the slow start of the infrastructure project due to, among other things, land that could not be acquired to build mortuaries. In the process, costs escalated, resulting in the original costing not being sufficient. The issue of tendering also for these mortuaries and awarding of tenders also was very slow. For example, in the Eastern Cape, we know that Engqoba, Elliot, Craddock and Willowmo were not built, and the province has prioritized them. Monitoring and evaluation happened at 2 levels, at national and provincial level. But I think we should say that at national level, the capacity was minimal because it was only 2 officers who were managing the grant. The grant during inception was managed by the director who resigned, and for the past 3 years there was no director to monitor the grant. The director was only appointed in May last year, And then the post AD, the grant manager was a deputy director who had to oversee all the building projects and HR infrastructure and equipment. But at the same time, we want to say that the project manager might need to visit all provinces. The problem is that even in the visit, some of the facilities could not be visited because sometimes you go to a facility and find that there are problems, that you have to go to that facility again. So you find that the manager visited one facility five times because there were serious problems there, so that he could not manage to visit all the other facilities. Quarterly reports were submitted mostly late by some provinces, not all of them. We could not be able to evaluate the status of the designated mortuary building of any problem due to capacity problems at national level. The provinces had conditional grant managers, all the provinces. In some of the provinces, there were challenges. For example, in the Northwest, found that the manager was suspended at some stage and then reappointed and suspended again. So that created a problem in terms of consistency, in terms of the monitoring at the provincial level. The visits that we conducted mainly focused on the building. Information regarding HR matters were dealt with, including procurement and equipment. The financial expenditure was obtained from monthly and quarterly reports from the provinces. The constraint with the building and refurbishment visits that not all mortuaries were visited during the grant period, a challenge we identified that is that a person would be inclined to visit one mortuary three times and the others could not be visited. What we also monitored during the visits is the issue around occupational and safety issues, because one of the things that was happening that sometimes we find that in some mortuaries, the officials are not even wearing protective clothing. So as we visited, we also looked at the occupational health issues, and we asked the provinces to have in-house safety committees so that they can also monitor the health and safety issues, which of course is the role of the environmental health officers, which is not done efficiently. We are in discussion now that this should be done at least twice a year. The environmental health officers must visit a facility just to look at occupational health and safety issues. Thank you.
Chair, the next two slides just talk to expenditure, but I think Treasury has adequately covered that. We've measured it against the initial budget of 590 million. But I think significantly on the two slides, if you look at the totals of spend, you'll see in the third quarter the total spend was at 420 million. And at the second quarter, and at the end of the fourth quarter, at 586, so there was a reasonable jump in terms of expenditure in the last quarter on this grant, which I think Treasury has shown. And it also, I'm not sure if it reflects the increased or better spending, you know, in terms of the involvement of the grant over the few years. Jay, just to conclude on our part of the presentation is that, as we said, the grant has been phased out into the provincial equitable share from 2012-13. From the numbers that Treasury has shown from provinces, it seems that the grant or this function has been taken forward in equitable share of provinces. The difficulty or the challenge, obviously, Jay, is going to be to make sure that money gets, you know, spent on forensic pathology and at the mortuaries as intended, because it's now lost a conditional grant element to it. The health infrastructure grant is now managed by the National Department of Health, and you know there's a room for some of this expenditure of pathology to be included into that framework as well. Provinces have been briefed through policy structures to carry over the revitalization of mortuaries from the equitable share funding, as we said. The National Department of Health has got an oversight responsibility, and the National Health Act is there for us to use to ensure that provinces do provide the services at the required standards. And as I said, that there is a window for us in future to make sure that the refurbishment and building of mortuaries can be done under the existing health revitalization grant as well as the health infrastructure grant. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you. Honourable members, Honourable Liz Makubela, the beer. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, we hold you in such high esteem, Mr. Chairman, that we have no intention of taking a vote of no confidence in you as the opposition today. Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I'm making light of your meeting, but it's good for us to smile occasionally. Mr. Chairman, the beginning of the presentation was very general, and I was going to say, could we get information about problems, but we have kind of gone into that, so let's leave that. Can I get an idea of what we're talking about here? Are we just talking, when we talk about facilities, are we talking about mortuaries? And in the mortuaries, they're laboratories, and we do post-mortems, but we do other forensic investigations for the SAPS that they used to do as well. DNA tests of evidence found at sites, at crime sites, that kind of stuff, that doesn't get handled here. I'm just not 100% sure where we are there, if we can get an explanation about what it's about. And, you know, I'm sorry, I'm an accountant, so I look at figures. Your slide 10 says that the Western Cape has 16 facilities. But your slide 11 talks about all 18 facilities. And so I'm not sure where I'm going wrong. I'm sure there's a good explanation there, but perhaps you could explain that. And then I wonder, there's a large number of vehicles. It's kind of disparate. You know, I would have thought a province like Gauteng, which is so small, would perhaps need fewer vehicles because, you know, one vehicle can do a lot more trips than the Northern Cape, where, you know, to do one trip, the vehicle might have to go hundreds and hundreds of kilometers. But, you know, really, what is the purpose of these vehicles? And you talk about 4x4s and so on. I wouldn't think Gauteng needed too many 4x4s. They probably need a lot of toll cars, but not 4x4s. Chairman, okay. Am I too sharp? My colleague here is telling me my tongue is being a bit sharp. Mr. Chairman, now let's just get to the figures again. You see, if you compare National Treasury's Table 1 with slide 18, the totals on expenditure spent, 586,667, okay, they're 2,000 odd. But the budget's quite different. And so, you know, which are the correct figures? And then if you just start with the Eastern Cape. Sorry, no, it wasn't the Eastern Cape. It was another one. Sorry, yeah, it is actually Eastern Cape that is the big one. So, you know, figures don't lie. I mean, they have to be the same. People lie about figures or make errors with figures. And it really is important that we get figures that we can trust and that we don't get figures that actually don't tie up with each other, that figures are dealt with in a consistent manner. So I would really urge that this kind of thing shouldn't happen, Mr. Chairman. So yeah, there you are. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Chairperson. A very good report, and I would like to ask the following questions. Those members transfer from SAPS, how many transferred with relevant qualifications? And then, and if they were not having relevant qualifications, what did you do about these people? Okay, engaging with health professional council of South Africa to recognize this, it is in a continuous tense, still coming. When are you going to start engaging with them with time frame? These purpose funeral, do they report to the national department? If they did, how many purpose funeral per, or you give breakdown per province? I think this will be the last question. Yes, the issue of Mpumalanga, who doesn't have a pathologist, and the doctors performing that pathologist, is there differences of salaries? The last question is this one. Can department provide us with a detailed report covering the service delivery performance of the grant over its lifespan and identify the shortfall that would have to be funded by the equitable share in the foreseeable future? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Also, thank you to the National Department of Health for their presentation. Page 4, slide 7, the right-hand column D. Why this difference in the duration, the waiting time? Eastern Cape histology is 6 months. KZN's up to a year. Northern Cape, 3 months. Why that difference? Just explain it to us. Page 5, I will propose that you also look at the condition of those vehicles. And I'm referring to my own province. Because of all the gravel roads we have in the Northern Cape. And then page 6, bullet. Slide 12, page 6, the second bullet, not been able to recruit forensic pathologists due to production in universities. Is that because of the intake of a university? If the answer is yes, they can't take more students, we've got agreements with Cuba, United Kingdom, other countries in the world. You will have to explore where we can send them students to get training. 50 students from the Northern Cape is now going to Cuba to be trained as doctors. 10 from my own region, 2 from my constituency. So you will have to explore that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, our members. I just want to get clarity on table slide number 8. Free State, and I'm just raising this in the context of the oral presentation made. Does the 21 relate to doctors or pathologists combined, as well as KZN? Is that 94 doctors combined with pathologists, or is only doctors doing the same? And at Limpopo, you moved very quickly when you arrived at Limpopo. What does that 70 stand for? If it was only one line, it's gone, and I could not get you what is it there. If you could explain Limpopo, whether that 70 is for APOs and what happens, don't they have doctors and all those things? And so that we get a clearer picture of what is happening in Limpopo. And the Western Cape, you made a point that there are a number of pathologists, but the table there shows 0. So what is actually the number there? Uh, again Western Cape in terms of the refurbished. Elsewhere in the report, you are making a point that there's been some work on both refurbishment and building of new mortuaries, but due to funding, they could not be completed. But Table 10 shows that there were 5 planned refurbishment of existing mortuaries, but 0 has been completed in the Western Cape. So taking that with regard to the statement I made earlier on, what is the actual status in that? Now, again, with regard to the issue that you raised subsequent to that slide, I'm interested to know, I take a point that there's been problem of capacity, as you have mentioned, and you only had 2 people who were responsible for this particular grant. Now, that to me suggests that from the department's side, there's been a lack of oversight and monitoring on this grant, such that if that has not been corrected going forward, we will remain with these challenges. Because it would seem to me that the department, if I may put it bluntly, have failed to do the proper monitoring. That's why you could not even visit all others. Almost 80% you relied on reports that you received from provinces. And the experience have taught us that not all the things that are contained in these reports are exactly as they are on the ground. You would have had some nice experiences with the revived grant in terms of those hospitals and all those things. Others are still stuck now. Others, millions of rand were being spent, but upon us visiting there, we could not even find the structure. You had the National Treasury sitting with millions of rand being spent. So if you accept that there's been a problem of monitoring on your side, what guarantees do you have that you'll be able to monitor now? It's going to be even worse now that provinces are going to have to do this under their own conditional grant. And perhaps now that we have also have site, I think this one will be relevant to National Treasury as well. I assume you have had sight of the provincial budgets. In your analysis, have they budgeted sufficiently for this purpose that you are talking of today? If you could address those. Let's start with the CFO clarifying the difference in budget figures. Honorable Makwe.
I'm sorry, Chairperson, I've forgotten one question, a very crucial one. Can I ask you so that when they answer?
No, it's fine.
So, Chairperson, the issue of old mortuaries were refurbished and the new one were built. Well, as the treasury there, they said the acquiring of land poses challenges. Can you come out with the clarity there? Thanks.
Sure, thank you. I'll deal with two questions. The first one, as you mentioned, our slide shows it against the initial budget, which I agree could probably be confusing. It should probably have been against the adjusted budget. Apologize for that. We took the third quarter report and we projected the spend against the budget there. I apologize for that. I can see how it can be confusing. The other issue was raised was just the issue of the new mortuaries on page 10. I think the issue there was that would reflect the new mortuaries that was supposed to have been built, as opposed to the 18 facilities that are existing within the Western Cape. So I hope that would clear that as well. So, Chair, if you allow, I will ask Pakisha to take us through the balance of the questions.
I'll respond. Thank you, Chair. The first question is around the functions in terms of forensic mortuaries, forensic chemistry laboratories, and the SAPS. And the director will take us through that.
Chair, prayer, if I may. The forensic mortuaries are responsible for the autopsies on the bodies that arrive there at the mortuaries. The forensic, it does not involve the forensic chemistry laboratories. The forensic chemistry laboratories are a national function, and they are responsible for drunken driving analysis, the cause of death analysis, where they get the samples to analyze from the mortuaries in unnatural causes of death. And they've also got the function where they analyze foodstuffs in relation to the for the Foodstuffs Act. The SAPS forensic laboratories, they are responsible for DNA analysis, for example, ballistics and so on. If bullets are removed from the body, it goes for ballistics analysis at the police laboratory. Firearm analysis and those type of analysis are done by them.
Chair, thank you. The issue around the 4x4s in Gauteng, I'm not sure the Honourable Member wanted me to respond. Yes. The Western Cape, the difference between 16 and 18, the 16, it was the planned mortuaries. So in terms of the original plans, the province will say we'll plan to build 16, whereas they had 18 mortuaries where they've put the system. So they planned for 16, but for the IT system, they've put the system into the 18. So the two are not part of the grant. The issue around the transfer of SAPS relevance, the qualification, most of the SAPS members were transferred. Some had standard 8 and standard 10. So most of those who have standard 8 have gone to school to go up to standard 10. So most of them have standard 10 now. Those who did not manage to go through, some of them resigned. So the SAPS, many SAPS members resigned from going to the forensic. But what we have now is standard 10 and degrees only. The time frames, the discussion with the Health Professions Council, we have made progress for time frames. We have on the 2nd of May, the Minister of Education and our Minister had a discussion around the 240 credits, because what the problem was the issue of the credits. So the 240 credits, the Minister has asked the Minister of Education to fast-track the issue of the 240 credits. We've also established there's a university, the Durban University of Technology, which is ready to train the FPOs, but they want a guarantee from the Minister of Education in terms of whether they'll be subsidized. The issue has always been that will they be subsidized for this particular. So the time frame is that by end of June, the issue will be resolved in terms of the subsidization and the approval of the 240 credits for the course. The corpus funeral, we did not put this on the site, but I think we can be able to provide the information before we leave here. We have a database of in terms of provinces, but we have seen that a number of this is in the cities. Western Cape, Gauteng, is minimal in the rural areas. So we'll also provide that information before we leave. The difference between doctors and specialists, that's and pathologists. Pathologists are specialists. They have to undergo training in forensics. You may find that the person is a medical doctor and has got a degree in pathology, but he still has to go undergo training in terms of pathology. Now the difference that the pathologists are specialists. The salaries are not the same, because doctors are just medical practitioners who have undergone a training in forensic pathology. We have developed the guidelines during the inception of the project. These guidelines called National Code of Guidelines for Forensic Pathology Practitioners. These are used by all the forensic pathologists in the country, whether medical doctors. So they go undergo training using the procedures and norms and standards here. The detailed report of the lifespan of the grant, I want to remember, we'll be able to provide it before we leave. Already have, we have it in the, but we didn't put it in the presentation because it's we didn't know that it is needed in this presentation. But we have it from 2005 expenditure patterns. We have them.
Thank you.
why the difference in the times with the autopsy? The difference in times, it depends on the burden that the mortuary has. Some mortuaries conduct more autopsies than the others. So that's the difference in terms of time frames. That's the main reason. KZN sees a number of autopsies that they do. That is why it also sometimes takes a year to finish them. And also the impact is that sometimes there's a need for a pathologist to actually also certify some of these autopsies, assisting the medical doctor who may not be sure about other things. So usually if there may be delays in that area. So where the medical doctor would want a certification by the pathologist. So it might even take longer. So we said we'll monitor this process and to see whether what is the difference and the trend in all the mortuaries. The issue is the number of autopsies and also the skills that are required and also the burden. The mortuaries are not the same in terms of the number of autopsies that they have to perform. I don't know whether you have any additional questions. The other question, the condition of vehicles, I think we will do that, honorable member. We'll have to make follow up because it might be the numbers, but we find that they are not in good working condition. We'll follow this one up. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, honorable member. The question around the production and the shortage of numbers, one would assume, I mean, as Bakiso did mention, that the to be a forensic pathologist, that's a specialized area after you've completed your 6-year medical degree. Now it becomes a question of a career path and a career choice. And unfortunately, you have certain subspecialties or specialties within the medical field where doctors may be interested to take it as part of their career choice. Since, many years, I haven't seen an uptake of, the registrars in forensic pathologies either exceeding, in most universities, beyond either 5. Then I guess, given the fact that we now see that there's a need to recruit more, we've got to encourage some of the registrars, to take forensic pathology as a career of choice. I think, honourable member, your point, it's worth exploring from our side, that if at all South African universities may not have the capacity, because to be trained as a registrar, it requires someone who's going to be supervising. How many do we have now within the system? Then we could either explore the bilaterals within the other countries, so that we can encourage those that have been willing to be pathologists to use that. The other one on the oversight chain. I guess we can say from our side that when the oversight role that we play as the department, we've got managers for all these different grants. Unfortunately, for forensic pathologies, as it has been mentioned, that for the past 3 years, since the director resigned, we didn't have any director. That in fact, it has hampered the oversight capacity that the department should be playing as far as monitoring the grant. But I think our hats off to those the staff that has been there, which they have managed through difficult times in ensuring that all the aspects of compliance with respect to division of revenue have been achieved, i.e. with the compliance with the submission of the reports. Even though we are admitting that we haven't been able to visit all facilities as required, given the fact that we have, I mean, limited capacity. But what we have done so far, recognizing that each grant has got managers and their staff, we've established some kind of a unit that plays with, I mean, some kind of an oversight and coordinating role within the National Department of Health. And that unit, it provides support to all the, I mean, the different, I mean, areas of the grant to ensure that there is a support and oversight role that is being played in the management of, I mean, of those grants. The last part, I mean, of your question. One of the, I mean, the proposals that, I mean, we've submitted upon realizing, I mean, knowing that the grant is in the end, it was the end of its lifespan. One was to engage through all the, I mean, the policy structures to ensure that this grant, as it's going to be, I mean, the funding is going to be phased through the, I mean, the equitable share. We developed some mechanism of understanding whether there is going to be a continuity with the, I mean, with the projects. Thus far, I mean, we're still gathering this information from the provinces just to understand how many projects that are on the pipeline, as per, I mean, the ones that were, I mean, that were planned. Some of them, they are included in the infrastructure grant. And now we are analyzing the project implementation plans for revitalization, and there is, I mean, the sense that some of these mortuaries, now they are going to be taken through that process. And then secondly, what we've been encouraging is that some of the facilities that are being planned for the, I mean, through the revived grant, is that they need to include mortuaries, not now, I mean, as it has been in the past where they have been standalone facilities without being either attached to their hospitals. But we're still getting this, I mean, this information from the provinces in order to understand exactly how many of these projects will still be continued to be funded through the provincial equitable share.
Chairperson, the other questions were around the numbers in terms of human resources. For Free State, I just need to apologize that in terms of this area, it has been very difficult to get this information from the provinces. But for Western Cape, they have 13 pathologists and they have 6 doctors. So we will update the report. For Free State, also, They did not. They usually don't want to give us the correct information in terms. But we know that they don't have a pathologist also in Free State. So it means it's only doctors here. The problem is in Limpopo, Honorable Chairperson, it has also been difficult. We are making a follow up because we're doing a closing report for the grant. We hope that we'll get the information from Limpopo in terms of categories. This has been a very difficult area in terms of getting this status. Western Cape is 13 pathologists and 6 doctors. KZN, they also have 1 pathologist. Pathologist 1 and the rest are doctors.
And can you repeat the Limpopo one?
the information in terms of breakdown. We are making a follow up, yes.
The whole is? Yes. To give
yes, they have not. They have not been able really to give us that information. Yes. Really, they have not been. We are making a follow up. Actually, we have noted it because just taking the discussion with the phone calls. They have not been able, because I understand there's a cleaning up of the personal system there. So it's quite difficult now too. And there's a team from the national that has gone to Limpopo or to assist them with this.
So Free State, they can only give you all this other information, but they don't want to give you breakdown of doctors and pathologists.
They have doctors only.
No pathologists.
Yes.
So who
does that service of pathology then in the absence?
Because what we have done is that the doctors who are conducting autopsies have been trained using this guideline to do autopsies. And then because Free State is nearer Gauteng, what happens is they have a problem. They consult the pathologist in Gauteng to go and assist them.
That is the situation, honorable members. Any follow-up questions, honorable DPR?
Yeah, no, not a follow-up question, just a proposal for Mr. Tom. He's the coordinator in Limpopo regarding the intervention in the five provincial departments. I'll give the number to you. You can phone Mr. Tom, and he'll refer you to the task team leader for the Department of Health in Limpopo. Because it's by under administration at this moment, in terms of section 101B.
There's a point I wanted to follow up on, this last statement that you're making, and I thought Treasure will have interest in that. You are making a statement that, you see, my understanding is that this has been phased out, the project itself. The grant itself, but the money has gone into it. The province will continue receiving that, but under equitable share. Now, one would expect that because now they are receiving that money as part of the equitable share, whatever they do with it, but they should still continue the services. But then you are saying, if you are not able to use that money, then you can still tap into the revived grant. And I've got a problem with that now. Not unless somebody convinces me that that's how it should be done. Yes. Because their revised grant has been there and has got its own specific purpose. This one had its own specific purpose, and it's now that we are saying it has achieved its objectives, that money is now given as an equitable share, with the understanding that provinces will now budget for it direct from that thing. But if you say, don't worry, even if you don't do that, tap into this one. That's where I've got a problem now. Because you are going to find provinces not budgeting for this one. As I was asking you as to what is your analysis of their budget, and you are saying you're still collecting that information. And they have all adopted their budget notice. Now, that's what I want to understand. What is it that they're trying to do here? Because now, other provinces, they will just take a shortcut, and whatever missionaries and everything that was left to be refurbished will be, not unless, of course, in terms of this division of revenue, that is also be shifted under hospital revitalization. I will have to check that. But the treasury wanted to come in there.
Yes. Just to point out that my colleague Santana did present this forward budgets in her presentation. It was, I think, it's right about the fourth slide in the Treasury presentation. So that the estimated growth rate is in fact 15.3% from last year's 11-12 spending to budget 2012. So in the benchmark exercise that we had with provincial treasuries, we asked all of the provincial treasuries to oversee that their health departments were allocating funds to the function. So the budget for next year is 676 million. And then in addition to that, some provinces will be using some of the health infrastructure grant funding. And we can continue to top up the health infrastructure grant fund bank. But I would agree with you, Chair, the hospital revitalization grant is not an appropriate funding mechanism for this function. But the health infrastructure grant is reasonable. But this sub-program in the provincial budgets will remain permanently. So we'll be able to monitor the spending on this program permanently.
I understand. Thank you for that. I've seen that. But the point I'm saying, have this now find expression in those provincial
budgets? It's not a published budget.
Come again?
It's not a published budget.
Okay.
Okay.
these are the public budget, but one thing that we don't have guarantees of is whether as it is allocated in the provincial equitable share, that 610 million go to for the revitalization of mortuaries. I guess the information that we're trying to gather from the provinces to understand how much of that funding, if not all, should be directed to the same programs. That's what we try. That's the information now we're gathering from the provinces. But the issue around infrastructure and revitalization, these were the options that we're trying to explore. We do take upon the fact that river may not be an appropriate one, but the areas we've been exploring between river and HIG for the continuation of this project.
So, brother, I'm saying river is not an appropriate one.
Chair, honourable members, the amount that you see on the slide, that was the appropriated amount. So the department cannot change an appropriated amount unless it goes back to its legislature. So these amounts as what should be monitored in terms of spending. So there's no way that they can change the budget after the budget has been tabled. So I think one can rest assured that these are the amounts that's there. And it's slightly more than what we have actually given for certain provinces that actually topped up. With additional, because in the allocation, we would say, based on the extra budget, this would be the amounts given through for forensic pathology. So there are certain provinces, like KwaZulu-Natal, Gauteng, and Western Cape, where they have actually topped that amount up through reprioritization, where they felt that they would need additional funds on this. So this amount will not be changed unless there's a process whereby they go back to the legislatures and then change allocations in terms of this. Thanks.
But then, just one question for me. But then, the history of underexpenditure by some of these provinces, the chances are that if that continues, then automatically it changes. And it would not come back to you. You would have given them money already. It won't come back to you. It will go to the provincial legislature, and whether it's accepted there or something else, it's something for future debate. But our concern is that what mechanisms are there in place to make sure that this is strictly applied? Remember, let's take an argument, a similar example with the 15% meant for sports and recreation in the MIC grant, right? Yeah, municipal infrastructure grant. Because of the abuse and non-adherence, we ended up saying no, reinvent that 15%, so that it ties the municipalities up to make sure that this. And I think I'm just making that an example as one of how creative provinces and municipalities can be in terms of making sure that they don't do what they're supposed to be doing. So is there any mechanism in place to make sure? I haven't analyzed the provincial budgets and have a side on all of them, except for my own province. But I was interested to see as to whether in this financial year, the figure they have allocated for these services are in line with what you have given to them as amounts as tabled here. I take the point that you might not like to change, but history and experience have taught us that in provinces everything is possible, and it's as easy as drinking water. Honourable
Mr. Chairman, I share your concerns, but I think that there's somewhat of a this is a kind of different grant from an infrastructure grant or something. This is a services grant. It's a transitional thing. I think the unfortunate thing is it shouldn't have been created. When the services or the function was transferred, the budget should have gone straight to the province in the equitable share rather than in a separate so-called grant. It was never a grant, really. The provinces couldn't take over the service without the funding. So it wasn't a grant as such. So I think it was set up in a way which was unfortunate from that point of view. I don't think it really makes any real difference, but it does make a difference to the way we understand it. So one can then say it's the function has moved, the funding for the function has moved, therefore that operation is finished. The event is over. Now what we need to look at is, do they provide the services they should be providing? If the province can provide the service they should be providing using half the amount of money, well, are we going to complain if they take the other half and use it for education where perhaps they think there's more of a need? Now, that's really the issue here. I mean, I can understand National Treasury say there's a budget and they've got to stick to the budget, or they have an adjustment budget. But let's assume they did have an adjustment budget and they then said, right, look, we're providing these services. This is overfunded. I'm trying to distinguish between a transferred function and a conditional grant. That's all I'm saying. But I do share your concerns that the services won't be provided because the money is put aside to pay for new cars for the premier or something. You know, something completely unrelated to the function.
Okay, let's get the clarity and then we move on.
You know, when the function was under SAPS, the function was in an extremely poor condition. To the extent that the reason why the conditional grant was initiated was because the provincial treasuries refused to accept the function. They felt that they were taking on a mandate that was, it seems so difficult and so messy, they weren't prepared to take it without some guarantee for a traditional period. And it was really at the request of the provincial treasuries that the initial detailed plans by Benguela and some of the other groups were done to develop a really detailed national plan for the transfer of this function. And over the 6 to 7 years of the transition, there's really been a lot done here. I mean, there's been a lot of new staff appointed, a lot of vehicles built, a lot of capital projects have happened. The service is not yet perfect. It's still problematic in certain cases, but it's light years away from the disaster it was 7 years ago. The point is, Honourable Chairperson, is that most services in the health sector are not conditionalized. TB is not conditionalized. Maternal and child health services are not conditionalized. Medicines are not conditionalized. Most things in the health sector are not conditionalized. We got two new health conditional grants this year, the NHI grant, the nursing colleges grant. Each year we're introducing new grants, and we can't, each area cannot be conditionalized. The Minister of Health, within the context of the MEC's committee, is attempting to get monthly reports on spending on certain prioritized areas, such as, for example, for medicines. And this is one of the areas, for example, in which the minister with his colleagues in the provinces can attempt to follow up on an ongoing basis. But the key purpose of this grant was to ensure a transition. The grant has lasted 6 or 7 years. Significant progress has been made. But the reality is that a lot of services still have to be strengthened going on to the future. And that's the reality of our context.
Yeah, I think Mark is basically still almost under, because at the ministers' meetings with MECs, that's exactly what he's been doing now, is to identify certain unconditionalized areas, and we call them non-negotiables. So we've set up a whole system with provinces, for instance, to identify infection control, for instance, what items should report to infection control, and see what budgets are specific to those. And it's also a way of us monitoring exactly what you were saying, to make sure that provinces don't move funds mid-year out of a non-negotiable, if you like. So maybe we should take this one forward as well as a non-negotiable. We can present it to the minister and his council. To say we've got facility services, we've got these numbers from Treasury, and we want to make sure that provinces stick to these numbers on a monthly basis. That's the one thing. The unfortunate part of it is that it's not legislated. So provinces have some autonomy in terms of the provincial treasury allocations and the departmental allocations. But I think this is at least one step forward in ensuring some of these services.
Any further comments or department? Are you happy with your presentation.
Treasury, are you okay? Okay.
Our members, then thank you very much, both departments, the National Treasury and the National Department, with regard to the presentation. I think we will also interact with the ministry in terms of our views going forward. Just for the record, the National Department of Health, I know I've raised this with the PG members also, but we would want a situation where your parliamentary liaison officer here in Cape Town becomes visible in our engagements with provinces on any conditional grants related to health department, to an extent of even taking our reports as adopted by the House to the ministry so that we can get feedback from time to time. That has been lacking, and we are quite worried, and I'm just raising it again here for record that we would expect to see that interaction improving this year. See. With regard to COCTA and National Treasury, you see that happening like every day. So with health, we are concerned that it's lacking, and I raise it with the, I also spoke to your parliamentary officer, but we will expect to see him or her more in our meetings and giving us feedback, including having to be part of our study groups or whatever meetings that we have if we need to discuss certain things with the minister. The point, and thank you very much, and we are on item number 7 now, honorable members. There's only an invitation by this from the Minister of Public Works to attend the budget vote that is today in the old assembly, starting at 4 o'clock, 4:30, I mean to say. And you are also invited to the cocktail function at 7:30 at Max Building. That brings us to an end, honorable members, of today's deliberation on the meeting. The next meeting will be tomorrow at Good Hope Chamber at 10. It's hearings on the Department of Education conditional grants, Dina Lady, school infrastructure backlog grant, and technical secondary recapitalization grant. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Thank you.